Christ wants to kill you and bury you. The essence of our salvation, that is, man being eternally saved, the essence of that is Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. Everything about our salvation rests on those truths. That Christ died, he was buried, and that he was resurrected. This is one of the reasons the passage that was read in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 2, where the inspired writer, the Apostle Paul, says, "For I am determined not to know anything among you but that Jesus Christ was crucified." It is on that basis that Christ's death, burial, and resurrection is the essence, is the fundamental, is the foundation. It is the basis of us being able to get forgiveness, to ultimately be saved, to be in fellowship with God as we live and seek his forgiveness. It is on that basis that every man, every woman, in order to get his or her sins forgiven, in order to be cleansed from all unrighteousness, in order to have our sins removed, in order to be in fellowship with God, every man, every woman must become one with Jesus Christ in Jesus' redeeming act. Say that another way, Brother Mitchell. Every man, every woman must unite with Jesus Christ, form a solidarity with Jesus Christ in that which Christ has done to redeem us. Every man, every woman, without exception, must unite, become one with Christ. Form a solidarity with Christ. Relive the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, because that is the essence of our salvation. We must become one with him in his redeeming act. The sinner, in order to stand right, proper, cleansed, forgiven in the sight of God, must do something. Corresponding to Jesus' death, Jesus' burial, Jesus' resurrection. Every sinner, are you in the audience today and you plan to become a Christian one day? Don't make it one day, make it today. God has a plan. Wait, I didn't say this church has a plan. God has a plan whereby you must do something corresponding to Christ's death. You must do something corresponding to Jesus' burial. You must do something corresponding to Jesus' resurrection. God has, before the world was created, put together that plan. Are we there? Every sinner must believe in Christ. Did I say believe? Yes. Must believe in Jesus Christ to the extent. Wait, it is not just mere belief. That belief must be of certain degree, certain strength, that it will push you to do other things. And we're going to let the Bible speak on that subject. So, every man must believe in Jesus Christ to the extent that you will want to unite with him. Did I say unite? You will want to form a solidarity with him. Did I say solidarity? Yes. You will want to unite with Christ in his death, burial, and resurrection. Listen, listen, listen. The book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15 from verse 1 to verse 4. Let us hear that. Let us hear it.
Moreover.
Brethren.
I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you.
Uh-huh.
Which also ye have received.
Uh-huh.
And wherein ye stand.
Uh-huh.
By which also ye are saved.
Uh-huh.
If ye keep in memory what I preached unto you.
You notice certainty here. Notice what it says about the gospel. Run that quick, brother. Run that quick again. The gospel which?
The gospel which I preached unto you.
Back up.
Moreover, brethren.
Uh-huh.
I declare unto you
uh-huh.
the gospel which I preached unto you.
Read. Uh-huh.
Which also ye have received.
Wait. The gospel is something that you must receive. Uh-huh.
And wherein ye stand.
The gospel is something we must stand in. Uh-huh.
By which also ye are saved.
The gospel is something by which we are saved. You know, that's three facts in just laid there that we do not take the gospel of Christ for granted. But read on. He has not yet told us what the gospel is, you know. What he has just said is introduction. Read on.
If ye keep in memory what I preached unto you.
The gospel is something, you know, just listen to it and let it go. Are we all here? We must keep in memory the things that is preached, taught to you week after week. Put out effort in the sight of God to remember as much as you can. That is necessary. Read on.
Unless ye have believed in vain,
mm-hmm.
for I delivered unto you, first of all.
Wait, so he's going to now tell. The far is taking you back to the foundation which he has just laid. He's now going to spell out what was delivered to them so that they became Christian. For I delivered to you first of all
that which I also received.
What I delivered unto you was not my imagination, was not my dream, my like or dislike. What I delivered unto you I received from the Almighty God. Uh-huh.
How that Christ died for our sins.
What was the first thing he mentioned? The death of Christ. Do you have it right there, brother? How that Christ died for our sin. Uh-huh. Let me tick them off.
According to the scriptures.
And Christ died, not arbitrary to the scripture, but all that the prophet has spoken about down through the years, leading up to the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. So Jesus' death was in keeping with the scripture. Read on.
And that he was buried.
And that he was buried.
And that he rose again the third day.
That he rose again.
According to the scriptures.
You notice? I like that. If you are visiting with us, that's the Church of Christ. Belief, it must be according to the scripture. You and I go doing our own thing, what we like and what we feel. No, it must be according to the scripture. What the brothers just read, these are the facts of the gospel. And remember, we restarted out that every man, the Almighty God fixed it, that in becoming Christian, every man, every prospective convert must, without any exception, you have to do something corresponding to Jesus' death, something corresponding to Jesus' burial, something corresponding to Jesus' resurrection. Wait. What Jesus Christ has done to bring forgiveness to us, it is so important. It is so heaven-moving that the Almighty God fixed it that in submitting your life to Jesus Christ, you have to relive, reenact what Christ did to redeem you. And wait. After you have become a Christian, there is a practice that God has left in the church that must be practiced regularly to keep Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection in our view. So it's not only in becoming Christian. You have to die with Christ. You have to be buried with Christ. You have to be resurrected with Christ. But even after we become a Christian, every Lord's Day, we have the communion to celebrate Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. That's how important it is. Are we all there? So we continue that as a child of God, as a man or woman wanting to become a child of God. But watch here. What, Mr. Mitchell? Why should I do something corresponding to Christ's death, corresponding to Jesus' burial, corresponding to Jesus' resurrection? Why should you do that? Because the Almighty God has set that as a condition for salvation. You must go through these steps, relive them. But do you know what? It is faith. It is faith that's going to make you want to do that. Wait, let me take a few seconds and you know. You must want to. When you believe in Jesus Christ, keep in mind that Christ has never committed a sin. It was our sin that sent Jesus Christ to the cross. And the Almighty God wants us to keep that in mind to the extent that, as I've just said, in becoming a Christian, you reenact what Christ did to redeem you. Die, buried, and resurrected. We'll soon get a little deeper in that. And as I've just said, that even after we have become Christian, one of the practices that the Almighty God left in his church, the church of Christ, is that every Lord's Day, we celebrate Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. And in becoming a child of God, this want to, you wanting to become one with Christ, is the work of faith. You know, the Bible sort of start among the first step to become a Christian is to believe in Jesus Christ. Of course, you have to be taught. And based on the truth given to you in teaching, you believe. Well, it is faith that make you and me submit ourselves to those acts. Wait. You know, the Bible tells us about dead faith and living faith, or at least imply that a faith without works is dead. Then the Bible talks about the obedience of faith. What is that? Run to it in the book of Romans. Romans chapter 16, is it verse 26? Is it verse 26? Romans chapter 16, I think it's verse 26.
But now I made manifest, and by the scriptures of the prophets, mm-hmm. according to the commandment of the everlasting God, mm-hmm. made known to all nations for the obedience of faith.
Why was the gospel, God's plan, made known to all nations? It was done so for the obedience of faith. It's Wednesday night, we were looking at the use of the genitive. In English, we talk about the possessive. In Greek, they speak a lot about the genitive, like the church of Christ, showing that Christ owned the church. The house of Lydia. In fact, we plan to pick up and go in a little more detail Wednesday night. But what I find striking is the obedience of faith. What does that mean, Brother Mitchell? The obedience which grow out of faith. The obedience which come from faith. Wait. Run with me. Wait, before we run. You see, that is always necessary. Well, run with me to the book of James chapter 2 and verse 17. We're speaking a little about faith so that we understand better faith. James chapter 2 and verse 17.
Mm-hmm. Even so. If it hath not works.
Start again.
Even so, faith.
Faith.
If it hath not works, is dead.
If it
dead.
Does not have
works.
Works.
Is dead, being alone.
You don't want a dead faith. You must make sure you do not have a faith that is dead in God's sight. You must make sure that your faith is alive. Brother Mitchell, explain that. Faith must be productive. Brother Mitchell explained that. Faith must produce something. Wait, faith cannot stop at faith. Faith cannot stop at faith. When it is the faith that is genuine, that is going to save, it must be the faith that goes on to other things. Read on a little more, brother.
Yea. A man may say, mm-hmm. thou hast faith, mm-hmm. and I have works. Mm-hmm. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works.
Isn't that practical and wonderful? James was inspired, and he said, you talk about you believe in God and you believe in Christ. James says, just some concept in your head that you believe is not enough. You must produce some work, some action. It is that action that's going to drive you to want to die with Christ, to buried with Christ, to be resurrected with Christ. It is where faith moves you to obedience. Look at the passage in Book of Acts of the Apostle, chapter 8 and verse 12. Acts chapter 8 and verse 12.
But when they believed Philip's preaching, the things concerning the kingdom of God, and the name of Jesus Christ. They were baptized, both men and women.
May I? Watch here, the main clause in all that long sentence there is when they believe. Watch here, they were baptized. That's it. Start again, brother. Start again. Quick.
But when they believed...
Wait. There should be a comma somewhere there.
The comma comes after the kingdom of God.
When they believe...
Philip's preaching...
Uh-huh.
The things concerning the kingdom of God.
They were on the name of Jesus Christ. All this business... preaching things concerning and the name of Christ, all that sort of cut off by the comma. The main thing is when they believed, they were baptized. That's the main thing there. Mm-hmm. And the idea there is when men and women believe, they will act on that belief. When men and women stop at belief, that belief is dead. Why, Brother Mitchell? It produces nothing. And here in Acts of the Apostle, is it chapter 12 and verse 18?
Chapter 8 and verse 12.
Well, I turn it around. I do that sometimes. That's right. When they believe, they were baptized. What is the point? Faith cannot stand alone. Faith cannot stop at faith if it is genuine. It must move you to something else. And people who are preaching, you hear them on radio, TV, just believe and you are saved. I'm sorry we don't have more time to read. In James, to read until we reach about verse 22, it will point out that even Abraham, who was credited to be called the friend of God, Abraham's faith was made complete, the Bible used the word perfect, when he offered Isaac. To just be out there telling, I believe there is a God, that is not enough. Are you here today and you believe that God exists? The Bible tells you that you and Satan sitting in the same seat if you stop there. That's right. It says the devil also believes. In fact, him believes more than you. Because the devil believes and know there's a God, the devil are trembling. So you must not stop at faith. May we move on a little further on this lesson, brothers and sisters. That a symbolic death must of necessity take place. What did I say? How that comes in, Brother Mitchell? That you must, if you ever plan to be saved, stand right before God, you have to do something relating to Christ's death, something relating to Christ's burial, something relating to Christ's resurrection, and that I'm on the point now that a symbolic death must of necessity take place is the teaching of God's word. Run with me to the book of Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6 verse 2. Verse 6 through verse 8 and verse 11. Let us hear it. Romans chapter 6.
God forbid.
Wait, take time with me, brother. What are we on now? We are on the fact that a spiritual or symbolic death must of necessity take place. Listen this passage. Did I say Romans chapter 6, verse 2, and verse 6 through verse 8? And I think I'm going to want also verse 11. Watch here now. Look at these synonyms of death. Start, brother.
God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin?
Everybody hear that? Everybody hear that? How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Read on.
Know ye not?
Don't you know?
That so many of us, as were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death?
Here again, death. Are we all there? Read on. What verse is that?
Verse 3.
No, step down now to verse 8. Verse 6.
Knowing this.
Know this.
That our old man is crucified with him.
That crucifixion is a synonym of death, brother. When you crucify somebody, you kill them. That's a fact. Knowing this, that our what? Old man
is crucified with him.
Is dead with Christ. Read on.
That the body of sin might be destroyed.
That destroyed is also one way of describing death. What verse are you?
Verse 6.
Read on.
That henceforth we should not serve sin
any longer. Read on, read on.
For he that is dead.
Here again, he that is dead.
Is freed from sin.
Free from sin. Read on.
Now if we be dead in.
Here again, if we be dead.
With Christ.
With Christ. Wait. You know this? You notice the solidarity? Huh? Dead with Christ. Huh? Are we there? You're not only dead. There is a oneness with Jesus Christ. What are we talking about today? That Jesus Christ wants to kill you and bury you. In the same way Jesus Christ died for your sin, buried and resurrected, you must do something corresponding to those. And here the Bible is spelling it out. You're out of route. Did I say verse 6 through verse 8? What verse are you now?
Verse 8.
Huh?
End of verse 8.
End of verse 8. Step down to 11.
Likewise, reckon ye.
Likewise, consider
ye also yourself to be dead indeed unto sin.
To be truly dead to sin. Everybody? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. I can count. 7 times in these 3 verses or 4 verses. The Bible used words that were either death itself or synonym of death. Notice too the word like, together. Are we all there? Are we all there? Brothers and sisters, what we are on. You had read verse 11 just now, eh?
Yes.
No, but we are not finished with it. Run to the book of Colossians. Colossians chapter 2. Verse 20. And chapter 3. Verse 5. Let us hear it.
Wherefore. If ye be dead with Christ.
Wait. Brothers and sisters. You're reading from where?
Colossians chapter 2. Verse 20.
Look here now. We have just been reading passages that the inspired writer Paul talking about dead. Notice now you go to another book. Are we there? Another book. And how he said, what he said there?
Wherefore? If ye be dead with Christ.
Brother, you notice it's not just dead, but you are dead with Christ. Wait. Brother Mitchell, I thought Jesus Christ died some 2,000 years ago. How comes it talk about my dead with Christ? It's talking about the steps of salvation. If he be dead with Christ.
From the rudiments of the world.
You see, that hint you in respect to what is under consideration when we talk about Christ wants to kill you and bury you. As in a few minutes we'll be looking on who does he want to kill? What does he want to kill? Yes, if he be dead with Christ. That was Colossians chapter 2 and verse 20.
Yes, yes brother.
And verse 20 finish.
Not the end of verse 20.
Well, give me all of it now.
Why, as though living in the world, Are ye subject to ordinances?
That's right. Okay. Step me to chapter 3. Chapter 3. Same Colossians. Chapter 3 and verse 5.
Mortify therefore your members.
Wait. The word mortify means kill. Are we all there? And this is another passage that is telling us, when we talk about, when the Bible speaks about dead, many of the passages already imply that what Christ wants to kill, who Christ wants to kill, is the old man of sin. Because you might be there, but Brother Mitchell, I love life. And you tell me Christ wants to kill me and bury me. You see, it's the old man of sin. And we have hinted, many passages have spelled that out. But this one, mortify literally means to kill, put to death. Read.
Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth.
Yes.
Fornication. Uncleanness. Inordinate affection. Evil concupiscence. And covetousness. Which is idolatry.
What the passage here lists is the practice of the old man of sin that must be put away. Are we all there? That's why it used the word mortify. Jesus Christ wants to destroy, put to death, the old man of sin and disobedience. You notice the synonym of death: dead to, crucify, destroy, dead, died with, mortify members. So let us get now more directly. Who are what Christ wants to kill? Look at Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. Galatians 2:20.
I am crucified with Christ.
Wait, stop there. But Paul, how could you have been crucified with Christ and you were still alive to be writing this letter? Read on a little further.
I am crucified with Christ.
I am killed with Christ.
Nevertheless, I live.
Paul says, but I continue to live.
Yet not I.
Yet it is not I that live, but the Christ of God that lives in me.
Amen.
Wait. What about Paul that was crucified or killed with Christ? That was the old man of sin, self, disobedience, the old man of the world, the old man of having his or her own way. That's the person that Jesus Christ wants to kill. Are we all there? Look again at Colossians chapter 3. Let us hear this time verse 9 first, then verse 5 again, which you have just read. Colossians chapter 3.
Lie not one to another.
That chapter 3, verse what?
Verse 9. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds.
You notice that you have put off something. When we become Christian, we put off something. What? The old man of sin. We don't practice sin anymore. It doesn't mean you are sinless. Are we all there? It doesn't mean you are sinless, but you do not live for sin. Sin is not your goal and objective. You live for Christ. And if and where you slip up, always be quick to go to God for forgiveness and to do better. Read that again, brother.
Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds.
And the put off is mentioned here in verse 5. Let us hear verse 5. of chapter 3.
Mortify therefore your members.
Mortify again. We said the word mortify means to kill. And that is the old man of sin. But wait, wait, we are not through. There's some very important truth here. Jesus Christ has the most powerful weapon to do the killing. Are we all there? Jesus Christ has the most powerful weapon to deal with the old man of sin. Look at Romans chapter 1 verse 16. Ephesians chapter 6 verse 17. And Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. Wait, notice where we're coming from. That every man, every woman must believe in Christ to the extent you will want to relive that which Christ did to redeem you. What did he do? He died. He was buried. He was resurrected. Passages where God speaks to us in this lesson. Passages showing that there must be a death to sin. There must be a burial and there must be a resurrection. So we are now pointing out that Jesus Christ has the most powerful weapon to help kill, bring to death the old man of sin. Romans chapter 1 verse 16.
For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ.
I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ.
For it is the power of God.
The gospel of Jesus Christ is the power of God to salvation. Are we there? May I just quickly? There are many words, some eight words. Some eight words in the Greek that is translated power. You have one word, apolumai. That word is also power, but it is the power to destroy and the power to break up things. That is used in Luke chapter 4, verse 34, Luke chapter 13, verse 3, and other passages. But the word power that is used in Romans chapter 1 is a different word. Dunamis. And that word is the word power. That word refers to the ability and capability to do things, to accomplish things, to bring about things. That is the word power used in the book of Romans chapter 1 and verse 16. Same word power, but this one means, that is the word dunamis. The ability or the capability to do things, to accomplish things. I am not ashamed of the dunamis of God, the power of God to accomplish things. What has he accomplished in your life or any man's life? Jesus Christ can help us control sin. Put away sin. Let me hear not only Romans chapter 1 verse 16, Ephesians chapter 6 verse 17.
And take the helmet of salvation.
Take the helmet of salvation.
And the sword of the Spirit.
And the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Sword is a weapon. The Bible here is telling us that the word of God is a weapon. It is that which is able to cut sin from sinner's heart. It is that which is able to bring transformation in man and woman. But you must let the gospel have its way in your life. Look at Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12, quick.
For the word of God is quick.
It is alive.
And powerful.
It is full of power.
And sharper.
It is sharp.
than any two-edged
than
sword.
Than any two-edged sword. Just talk about the word of God, the gospel of Christ. Read that.
Piercing. Even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts.
Wait. The word of God sees? The word of God can see? Yes. It discerns the thoughts and the intent of the heart.
Amen.
So God has the appropriate weapon to deal with our sin problem. That's right. Now, notice the sword at work. Notice the sword at work, God's weapon. In the book of Acts of the Apostle, chapter 2, verse 37, and especially Acts 8, verse 36. Quick, brother, time. Chuck. Read. Yes.
Now,
Acts 2:38. That's the word of God, which is Christ's weapon at work. Acts 2:38 and 8, verse 36. Let us hear it.
Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart.
Wait. Aren't we being told just now that the word of God is the intent of the heart? These people on the day of Pentecost, they were religious people, but they were not Christian. Did you hear what I said? You might be here as a religious man or woman. That doesn't mean you are accepted by God. That you are religious doesn't mean you know or that you have met Jesus' condition for the removal of your sin. Those conditions include dying with Christ, being buried with him, and being resurrected. That's right. So here are some religious people who were not Christian. They thought everything was okay between them and God, but it wasn't. Verse 37. Let us have it.
They were pricked in their hearts and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles,
men and brethren,
what shall we do?
They realized from the preaching of Peter that just believing in God, Brother Mitchell, how do you know that they believe in God? Verses above tell us that they were devoted men and women. That means deeply religious. They believe in God. But that was not enough. They had to obey. Men and brethren, what must we do? Listen this. Read quick, brother.
Then Peter said unto them.
Repent.
And be baptized.
And get baptized. Wait. Did you know that in repentance is where you become dead to sin? That's right. In repentance is where the man or woman make a decision that they will not permit sin to rule their lives anymore. Doesn't mean they're going to be sinless. It only means that they will not live for sin. They will not permit sin to rule their lives anymore. That's where death takes place. So Peter tell them, become dead to sin. You are motivated by the preaching you have just heard. Read.
Repent. And be baptized.
Wait. And be baptized. You must be buried with Christ. That's what baptism is. That's right. That's simply it. Repent and get baptized. You know what is at work here? Christ's weapon. The gospel, the sword. That's what working on these people's heart and intent. Repent and be baptized for the?
For the remission of sins.
That is for the removal of your sin. That's what the word remission means. But let us look at another passage. Acts of the Apostles, chapter 8 and verse 36, I think.
And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, see, here is water.
Here is the grave. You tell me that I have to be buried. Yes. Was it Philip who preached to him? Yes. Philip had told this man, coming from church but was not a Christian, Philip had told him that he had to be buried in the watery grave of baptism. As they travel in his Mercedes Benz, oh, Brother Mitchell, they didn't have Mercedes Benz then. Okay, as they chariot in his chariot, the man saw the water. Notice, I always find it striking. It was not the preacher who brought the water to his attention. But the preacher had already told him about the importance of the water. So the preacher was enjoying the little ride. Probably one time the preacher going to travel in something so comfortable. But the preacher had done his job. So when the prospective convert saw the water, he said to the preacher, here is the water. You told me that I must be baptized. And the preacher said, yes, if you believe, you must. He said, I believe that Jesus is the Christ and the Son of God. He was buried. He became one with Christ, not only in Jesus' death, through repentance, he became one with Christ in Jesus' burial. May I? Faith, repentance are all part of the death process. Faith and repentance are part of becoming dead to sin. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Let us have it.
Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away.
You notice where you become new? In Jesus Christ. If any man be in Christ, you know, we have read passages, many talk about the old man of sin and some of the sinful practices that must be put away as we become children of God. Well, the passage just read helps to magnify and to enlighten us further. When we repent, as I've said, it's important that we get this. We become dead to sin, because repentance means that a man or woman recognize that where he or she has been living his or her life, and a person believe there's a God, but they tell God, God, you mind your business and I mind mine. Men and women who just live, they don't care about sin. That's not their concern. They care about what they want, what they like. When we become Christian, we care about sin. If you don't care about sin, then it says something happened, something wrong with you. So repentance is that process whereby the prospective convert decided that he or she will turn from his or her sinful practices. It is a debt. But may I? When people are dead, what do? We bury them. Burial is the natural other step when people are dead. Ooh, It's the same thing with Jesus Christ. When a man or woman who has not become a child of God hear the gospel of Christ, confront his or her sinful way and sinful practices, that sinner must be buried with Christ. Are we all there? That's part of forming an identity with Christ. That's part of forming a solidarity with Christ. That's part of becoming one with Christ in Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. And we are there. That's why the Bible uses the word with, together, likeness. Look at Romans, the last passage, I think. Romans chapter 6. Verse 3 through verse 4. Quick, brother, time. Romans chapter 6.
Know ye not?
Don't you know?
That so many of us, as were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death.
We were baptized into Jesus' death.
Therefore,
are we all there? You get in Christ's death when you are baptized. Repentance is what drives you there. Faith drives you to repent. And repentance let you know that God not finished with you yet to deal with your sin. Read on, brother.
Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism.
Take time now, brother, with Paul. You notice this, the natural sequence? Here the man just a few lines up talk about where we baptize into what?
His death.
In death, we all notice it. Then after death, we are buried with Christ, we are baptized with Christ. You notice the natural sequence?
Amen.
That from death, you have to be buried.
Amen.
And that burial is not sprinkling. Are we all there? When you sprinkle, you are still not being baptized. In fact, notice the Bible. Therefore, we are what?
We are buried with him.
It didn't say sprinkle.
Buried.
It didn't say pour.
No, brother. Buried.
Baptism is a burial. True baptism is a burial, and that's the only thing it ever was.
Amen.
Are we all there? May I? Jesus Christ does not want embalmed bodies. He wants bodies that are buried. Today you can become a child of God. Only after the old man of sin become dead to sin and is buried in the water, then you are resurrected. It is from the watery grave of baptism you are resurrected to walk in newness of life. Let me, Romans, just I think I need verse 4 and 5, quick.
Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism.
You must not overlook the word with, because the with there is in reference to Christ. It is in effect telling you that you and Christ become one. You are buried with Christ in the same way Christ was buried in the tomb. You are buried under the water, and that is a must. Therefore, you are buried with Christ. Read.
By baptism into death.
Watch here now.
That like as Christ was raised.
Like as Christ. You notice these preposition. Like, with, together. that like as Christ was what?
Was raised up from the dead.
Uh-huh.
By the glory of the Father.
Uh-huh.
Even so,
we also
should walk.
You see, it's from the baptism that you are going to be raised to walk in newness of life.
Amen.
And that's what happens when we become Christian. When you repent, believe and repent, you become dead. When a man or woman decided, I'm going to turn my life over to Christ, you become dead to sin. Because repentance means you are saying, I'm not going to live for sin anymore. I'm going to live for Christ. Then you become obedient in baptism. You are buried with Christ by baptism. The passage the brother read just now from Romans chapter 6, verse 4 and 5 just said that. And then you come from the watery grave of baptism to live that new life in Christ. Today you can become a Christian. Notice the outcome. I can't come back to this lesson. Probably another 10 years if I'm alive. Notice the outcome in the same Romans, brother. I can't end and don't bring this to your attention, even though you know it. Notice the outcome. When you die with Christ, buried with him and resurrected with him, did I tell you Christ wants to kill you and bury you? Yes. Notice the outcome in verse 17 and 18. Same book of Romans. Quick now.
But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin.
You were the slave of sin. That's what the word servant there implied.
Mm-hmm. But ye have obeyed from the heart.
What did they obey?
That form of doctrine.
What?
That form of doctrine.
What?
That form of doctrine. Which
the word form there is the word mold. Over the years, I used these beams to explain. For us to have those beams, box made out of wood, have to be made the same shape and size. When you pour the concrete, the liquid concrete in it, when the concrete dries, it comes out looking like the box. The box is the mold, is the form. Here is the form that Paul is talking about in verse 17. You have obeyed that
form of doctrine.
That form is Jesus' death, burial, and
resurrection.
Resurrection. When you obey the form, you come out looking like Christ.
Amen.
What? The brother is not finished. Verse 17, you have just read. Read it again. Quick, now, brother, you hold me up.
But God be thanked that ye were servants of sin.
You were the slave of sin.
But ye have obeyed from the heart.
You're so important. Obedient is you have obeyed from the heart. Your obedience was sincere.
Mm-hmm. That form of doctrine
delivered to you.
Being then made free from sin.
Then when? When you obeyed.
Amen.
You became freed from sin. Being then made free from sin. Then when? When then? When you obeyed the form, died with Christ, buried with Christ, resurrected with Christ, you became freed from. It is then. You know this passage is telling us exactly when we were cleansed?
Amen.
This passage. Exactly when you were cleansed, when you obeyed the form. And that form is Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. Let me not say anything more. Only ask that if you are here today, if you have never understood how to become a child of God, what God requires of you, if you have never been taught what are the conditions set by Christ, now you know. You have to die with Christ, buried with him, resurrected with him. We are going to stand now and sing a song. It is sung to the glory and honor of Christ's name. But it is also an appropriate time for you to step forward and give your life to Christ. We are here to help you, and Jesus Christ is ready to welcome you into his family as we stand. Christ call.